Everyone can begin making their 2-minute presentations. Anyone who doesn't have a 2-minute presentation all ready to go, raise your hand if you don't have one ready to go. What? No excuses. Take him in the back room and cut off his head. Okay. Only cut off a hand this time. Next time, entire head. Be careful. And the time after that, you'll really be in trouble. Let's see how to do this. So one of the Matajis can go into the, not this room, but not the next room, 46. And you can, you can try 2 different groups. I think that'll be easy. Okay. And just give 2-minute presentations, but don't go yet. One by one, and I'll be going back and forth between the rooms. And let's see, in this group, I think we'll do 3 groups. Yeah, so one group is over here, instead of the usual 4. Here, over, why don't you come over in this direction a little bit? Yeah, come over here. Come in this direction. Over here. And this room over here. Turn in on each other up here. And the second group. And this group. The third group. Now, just be a little careful in giving response. So there'll be 2-minute discussions, or excuse me, presentations, and those who haven't given their presentations will give their teaching presentations, and then later on, if we have time today or tomorrow, we'll start with our storytelling as well. Now, as I said, be careful with the response. I gave some simple suggestions for response yesterday. There's 3 different ways you can give response. One is through questions. What was your objective? That should be asked each time, so everyone can evaluate the objective and to see whether it was met. Then ask about the set, the closure, and the evaluation. Or, do you have any questions to ask? So far, no one had any questions to ask, except anyone have any criticism or things like that. But I'd avoid that question, because everyone in general will have unlimited criticism, and no one will be encouraged to continue. But rather have the response with the asking of questions, or someone could tell what they learned from it. That's a very simple one. Response like that. Keep it simple. And then, it's going to be problematic unless you're in the group. All those who have to use Blackboard, raise your hand. So it's mostly that group. So why don't we put all the Blackboard users in one group? So they'll stay over here. And with the ladies, who has to use the Blackboard? Oh, that's almost everyone. Huh? Well, you'll be in the other room. You might just want to work it out as one group. That might even be simpler. But just my suggestion is be gentle with your response. Now, another way to do it, if the one who gives the presentation doesn't want some criticism, he says, does anyone have any suggestions how to improve? So those in the audience, first thing they should do is say something that they liked about the presentation, which is generally a good standard. Because people learn in two ways. They learn from having the things that they did well reinforced, and then suggestions for improvement as well. So say something, if anyone has any, if someone wants to ask that question, any suggestions for improvement, then the responders can first say something that they like, and then only one thing that they want suggesting for improvement. No taking out a big book, and you know, have 50 suggestions for your improvement. And if you can't find anything that you like about the presentation, you have to think of something quickly. Like, you can say, when you were up there, you were breathing really well. Great job of breathing. And then you can go into your criticism. Well, not criticism, but suggestion for improvement. So three different ways of responding. Just the question asking. Second, telling something you learned. And third, if the person, and only if the person asks, he can ask for any suggestions for improvement. And then you give him something positive, and then some suggestion, just one suggestion for improvement. Now, each group will need a timekeeper. So my suggestion is to actually make it strict, pretty much strict 2 minutes, and otherwise nothing will get completed. And inform the person, the presenter, 30 seconds in advance, as I was doing. Okay, any questions? Okay, so why don't we begin? So, much of these can go. You can decide if you want one group. Or two, probably one is okay for the lady. Now the devotees will be using the blackboard. That group, why don't you come up here? Let the blackboard users take this position on, well, not the information, the lesson on examples, analogies, and storytelling. Raise your hand so I can see. Did anyone not read that lesson? One person. Now, does anyone have any questions on it? On the lesson? Now, tomorrow, we'd like everyone to, as I said, think of a story to tell, and we'll break into the same groups and tell stories. And we'll try to use a combination of all the techniques we've learned on explicit instructional objectives, even. And including what we'll learn on storytelling. No questions on storytelling? Now, there was one, yeah.
Yeah,
for tomorrow, 5 to 8 minutes, a little longer. We might not be able to cover everyone in one day. But the teacher is allowed to, that means me, is allowed to cheat. I get the longest presentations and the longest stories. Now, this lesson on storytelling and examples and analogies, this completes the section on instructing, and I would like to have I would like to give you a test on this. Now the only question is when. The tests that I'm giving are very straightforward and simple, not very deep, just based on simple understanding of the terms technology and some application. Then the actual application of everything is in the presentations you make. So I'm not going to ask you to apply much on the tests, except you're obviously going to have to know what all the information on objectives and everything we covered. Now, the question is, when would you like the test? Now, it won't be a full period test. I think we'll just have half the period, and then we'll use the other half for other things, either presentations, your own presentations, or other things. Now, the reason why I'm asking you rather than telling you when you would like the test is because I know that there are other tests coming up. My guess, because the midterm or the mid-semester is at the end of the week, my suggestion is we have it as quickly as possible. So I assume there'll be other tests on Friday. So.
In any case, on Friday will be another test?
No.
This will be the test for this.
This will be the test for this half. No, in writing. Monday, Thursday. Okay, any other suggestions? It should be this week because we're finishing. It's only going to be on this particular, this instructional. Okay, so this Thursday. Okay, there's three alternatives basically. Tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday. So take a minute to think. I found it, Roger, sorry. Take a minute to think, which one do you prefer? Wait. Okay, all those who would like it tomorrow. No one ever, there. All those who would like it tomorrow, raise your hand. Okay, that's about 10. Okay, all those who would like it Thursday, raise your hand. And all those who would like to put it off as long as possible, raise your hand until Friday. Well, this looks like, okay, let's try just between Thursday and Friday. All those who would like it Thursday, raise your hand. Oh. And all those who would like it Friday, raise your hand. Okay. All those who really get angry at me if we have it Friday, raise your hand. Only four people, not bad. Okay, but it won't be hard, I promise you that. If you know the materials, if you just know the terms and things like that. What? Good point. But some tests are more difficult. Just like that biology test I had when I was in college. It was really awful. I hated it. Anyway. Yes, it's on everything we covered, including today. Everything that you've read up till today.
On Thursday,
of the questions. Okay, if you come, I'll tell you the questions and the answers if you like. But that won't. Of what? What you need to know. You need to know the information in the 1 through 5. Everything that we've covered up to now. I've already given subtly, I've embedded all kinds of hints in what I've said already, telling you exactly what is going to be on the test. Now you have to decode my words.
Stories
yes.
Oh,
references meaning?
You know, like,
No, I'm not going to ask you for the references at all. Just the techniques, the terms, etc. Like that. You have to know that. Yes, Paul.
When are we decided for the test?
We decided Friday. Is that all right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I'd like to tell you a story. What I'm going to ask at the end of the story is for you to identify the techniques that I used. So, listen to the story, but also when you notice me doing something that you know is a technique, you recognize as a technique that we've learned about, that we've studied, then you can just note it down, and then at the end we'll ask what techniques did you recognize. Okay? This one? Yes. Now, yesterday, when I was speaking and explaining about the use of switching sensory channels, I told... Does anyone remember? What was the example, the story I told?
I told the story about a flower garden in China where he played the tape.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was Japan,
wasn't it? Yeah. In Kobe. It was in Kobe. Now, it was actually a very amazing, I can call it amazing, and I can also say it was an awe-inspiring series of events that led to Prabhupada doing that, and even asking the group of Indians, they were all Sindhis. They were all Sindhis. All the local Sindhis in Kobe, he asked them for their apartment, the apartment house. Somehow or another, by the grace of Krishna, I got a chance to participate or watch in this pastime of Prabhupada's. It took place in 1972. Prabhupada came to Hong Kong. And then I had the good fortune of traveling with Prabhupada and sitting next to him on the plane going from Hong Kong to Tokyo, where we had a temple in Tokyo. In Tokyo, the temple president, who was Sudama, he arranged a program for Prabhupada in Kobe. Now, if my memory serves me right, Kobe is a port city about 250 kilometers south of Tokyo. And this program that was arranged by Sudama for Prabhupada, he was supposed to give that program at the Hindu Association of Kobe. Now, when Sudama told Prabhupada about this program, he didn't tell Prabhupada one thing. That Prabhupada was going to be speaking to the Hindu Association of Kobe, and there were 200 or 250 Indian families, mostly Sindhis, living in Kobe. And Sudama did not tell Prabhupada that on the same program, the same night that Prabhupada was going to be speaking, there would also be speaking a Mayavadi sannyasi. Prabhupada found out about this on the train. During the train ride. Now, it was very... I was very fortunate to sit next to Prabhupada on the train. Now, this particular train in Japan is a very fast train called the Shinkansen. Has anyone ever been on that train? The Shinkansen? Has anyone ever been to Japan and gone to Kobe? The Shinkansen, you've been... It's called the bullet. Shinkansen means the bullet. Because it goes very fast. And that ride of 250 kilometers, it takes I can't remember how long, but I think only 2 hours. The train goes so fast. So when we got on the train, the compartments are very small. And it's not like an Indian train, by the mercy of Krishna. It's not like an Indian train, but everything is very well organized. It's more like an airplane, practically speaking. The compartments are small, and the train is going so fast that there's no one in the aisles. There's no one allowed to stand up. There are no vendors walking back and forth. Everything is very clean, like an airplane. Not like an Air Indian airplane, no. But it is very, very... So, when we sat down, there were about six of us who went with Prabhupada from Tokyo to Kobe. We sat down and the seats were facing each other, like an Indian train, and it was sort of cramped. So one of the devotees, Bhanu, now Bhanu Swami, he was sitting opposite Prabhupada. I was sitting right next to Prabhupada. And we thought, it's so crowded and so uncomfortable for Prabhupada that it would be so nice if Prabhupada could put his feet up on the other seat. Bhanu said, I'll stand up the whole way and allow Prabhupada to put his feet up. So Bhanu stood up and he was standing there, and the conductor, that's right, one point, that went right, when Bhanu got up to do that, they said, Bhurijan, why does Prabhupada if he put his feet up? So I said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Bhanu has moved, so you can put your lotus feet up so it will be comfortable for you. And Prabhupada just put his feet up. So then, while Bhanu was standing there, the conductor came by and started yelling at him in Japanese because the train was shooting along at a 100 kilometers an hour, and they didn't allow anyone to stand, they didn't allow anyone to be in the aisles. So they said he must sit down immediately. It was Prabhupada with his feet up. So they, Bhurijan, you're going to have to ask Prabhupada to move his feet. So I said, Prabhupada, the devotee, he's going to have to sit down. So could you move your feet? Could you move your lotus feet so the devotee could sit down? So Prabhupada just looked and smiled and said, yes, I will move my lotus feet so the lotus-like devotee can sit down. So Prabhupada, there was certainly no inconvenience for him. He was so humble, so tolerant, and so sweet. It was wonderful. When we got to Kobe, we were shown our apartment. There was the head of the Hindu Association. I can't remember his name right now. But he owned a big apartment building, and we were staying on the third floor. And it was so amazing to watch Prabhupada. It was the third floor. There was no elevator. Prabhupada at that time was 76 years old, I believe. 76 years old. And he had to walk up the stairs like that. And he would walk up. First of all, he would never complain. He never complained at all about this arrangement, which was actually improper. And secondly, he walked up so fast, and all of us, all the other devotees who were younger, we were very tired. And I remember getting to the top of the stairs, Prabhupada would he would just leave his cane. He wouldn't even turn around, he would just leave his cane, and I would grab his cane and carry it up for him, and he would hold the railing. And he would walk up so fast, by the time we got to the top, I remember being and Prabhupada wouldn't be panting, he wouldn't be out of breath, he wouldn't have complained. So majestic, so glorious. So when it was found out that a Mayavadi would be speaking on the same program as Prabhupada, we were very upset with Sudama. But Prabhupada, he didn't comment at all. But he knew about it very clearly. We told the head of the Hindu Association who owned the building, he had moved, his brother was in that apartment, and he had moved him out so we can stay there. We had the whole entire apartment. We told him that we have to have a nice garland for Prabhupada, because after all, he's the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, preaching all over the world, world famous, such an elderly, respected scholar and sannyasi. You must get him a garland. And the flowers in Japan, especially in Kobe, I think, was so expensive. So he gave us money, I think it was 20,000 yen, which is a lot of money. And he said, with this money, you have to get a garland. Yes, but you have to make a garland for Swami Kaivalya also. I don't actually remember his name, but I call him Swami Kaivalya. I can't remember it. So we said, yes, of course. But we came up with a very good idea, that Prabhupada was wearing a garland. So we would make one beautiful garland for Prabhupada out of roses, red, deep red roses. And then the next day we would give Swami Kaivalya Prabhupada's old garland. And this way, two things would be accomplished. One was that Prabhupada would have a beautiful, most beautiful garland, and also the Mayavadi sannyasi would be benefited by wearing Prabhupada's garland. So the day of the program came, which was actually the next day. And there was a big hall. It was in the Hindu Association had a hall, quite a big hall. I'd say it was five or six times as big as this room. It wasn't well decorated, but there was one very prominent thing in this hall. And if you're familiar with these Sindhis, they generally, like the Sikhs, they worship the Guru Granth Sahib, the book, the holy book of the, that the Sikhs use of Guru Nanak. So they have something like a Vyasasana, a big, like Vyasasana, in their temples. And it is not that the speaker sits on the Vyasasana when he preaches the book. No, but whoever is reading the book sits on the Vyasasana. So this big hall had only one thing in it, a huge platform with steps going to it, and on it was the Guru Granth Sahib. So when we saw, myself and the other devotees, there was Shyama Sundar and Sudama and Banu Swami and two other devotees. When we saw this Vyasasana, we went to the, because we came there a little early to arrange the Vyasasana, arrange the seating and everything like that. So when we saw this, we immediately went to the head of the Hindu Association who had given us the apartment, and we told him, Prabhupada has to sit on here. And he said, no, this is for the reader of the Guru Granth Sahib. And we said, yes, he has to sit on here. He's elderly, he's scholarly, he's a revered and renowned Vaishnava sannyasi, famous all over the world. He must be given this prominence. He said, no, no, no. We said, yes, yes, yes. He said, no, 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 no. We said, yes, 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 yes. And finally it was agreed that Prabhupada would sit on there. So we moved it around. And it was, say if this was the hall over here, the Vyasasana was on this side over here. And more facing this way, towards the back. And the hall was huge. And gradually, Prabhupada hadn't arrived yet. But gradually, all the families started coming. And there were after some time, there was about, I'd say, 200 to 250 Indian men and women. There were no Westerners, there were no Japanese, they were all Indian. So everyone was milling around and talking. And then suddenly, the Swami came in. Prabhupada had not arrived yet. So the Swami came in, and he was a typical looking Indian holy man. He was all in saffron. He had a big hair and big beard. He couldn't speak any English at all. So I had already, because I had asked, I was the one who had asked Prabhupada to put up his feet, and then I had asked him to move his feet down. So they suggested that I also be the one who gave Swami Kaivalya the garland. So I went over to Swami Kaivalya, looking at him. I paid my humble obeisances to his feet, and I offered him a garland. Yeah. He accepted it, and everyone was very happy. Then we were deciding who would speak first. And it was decided that Prabhupada was senior. And he was, this gentleman was 50 years old or so, and Prabhupada was already 76, and no one knew this man, but Prabhupada was so famous. So it was decided that Prabhupada would speak first. So when Prabhupada came in, we all started kirtan, and we all started jumping up and down, and then we led Prabhupada, we put nice flowers, beautiful flowers on the Vyasasana, and we decorated as best we could. We brought the microphone over. There were chairs in the back where everyone was sitting. Swami Kaivalya was sitting down in a chair over there, and Prabhupada, when he came in, we were chanting, and we helped him climb the stairs to the Vyasasana, and then he sat down and he said, "Begin kirtan." Now, there were five of us, and we had our instruments, and it seemed somehow or another that we had all one thing in common. All us, I wasn't a brahmachari, but most of the devotees, although Sudama wasn't a brahmachari either, we were both married. But we all had in common at that time that none of us could sing very well. But Prabhupada said to start kirtan, so really we started, and the hall was full of about 200 Indian people, families, and they had never seen anything like Westerners dressed as devotees before. This was in the early 70s. So we started kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, very enthusiastically. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And we were jumping up and down, very enthusiastic. They were looking at us. No one was chanting, but Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, because Prabhupada was there. We were so excited. So after we had our kirtan, everyone became very quiet. And Prabhupada, Jayam Vishwapad, Brahman, Supreme Vijayati Charaja. And Prabhupada began to speak. Now, Prabhupada began to speak in English. We, the five of us, we were sitting over here. And the Vyasasana was over here, most of the people were behind us, listening. And there was the Mayavadi sannyasi sitting in one of the front seats. Prabhupada began speaking, and immediately, what did Prabhupada begin speaking about? Well, the Mayavadi sannyasi right there, he immediately began condemning Mayavadi philosophy. Immediately started preaching against it, that the absolute truth, Vedanti tat tatvavedas tatvam yaj gyayam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanitis, that the absolute truth has three features, Brahman feature, Paramatma feature, but the ultimate feature is Bhagavan. And anyone who says that the Brahman feature is the highest, they are nonsense, they are rascals, they are incorrect. And Prabhupada is preaching 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes about the evils of Mayavad philosophy, and those who preach Mayavad philosophy, they are misleading everyone like this. The Mayavadi couldn't speak any English even. He was just sitting there. And Prabhupada was just preaching and preaching, and everyone was just watching. Sitting on the big Vyasasana, and at that time Prabhupada was wearing this like golden chadar. He wore that actually for almost a year, if I remember correctly. He had a golden chadar. So he was preaching for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, a half an hour, and he preached for 45 minutes, quoting one Shastric verse after another Shastric verse, simply condemning Mayavad philosophy. Then he asked, "Are there any questions?" Questions. So it was time for the Mayavadi to speak. So the head of the Hindu society brought the Mayavadi by his hand over to the Vyasasana where Prabhupada was sitting. And he held up his hand to help Prabhupada get down from the Vyasasana so the Mayavadi. Prabhupada refused to get down. He knew. So he put his hand up again. Prabhupada wouldn't get down. So at that time, the Mayavadi was in a very embarrassing position. So she said, "No problem." So they took the microphone and brought it over to where he was sitting. And he sat down and Prabhupada, and he began to speak. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana and he took out his bead bag and began to chant and rock back and forth.
close to that.
We all took out our bead bags. Because the Mayavadi was going to begin to speak, so we started off. And then he began to speak in Hindi. None of us, not one of us, could understand Hindi. So he started off slowly, and he began speaking in Hindi. And Prabhupada just sat on the Vyasa sat. Hare Krishna, he was hanging his bead bag. And we all sat on the floor, just looking at Prabhupada, not understanding a word he was saying. We were just Hare Krishna, rocking back and forth like Prabhupada was doing. So the Mayavadi began to speak for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. All the time, Prabhupada just kept his hand in his bead bag. We all stayed. 20 minutes, 25 minutes, the Mayavadi's lecture was building up. He was getting very fired up. Prabhupada just, after 30 minutes, Prabhupada looked at me, took his hand out of his bead bag, and looked at me. Stop him! There's 200 people out there. Listen carefully. We're all rocking back and forth. Stop him! Start kirtan! So immediately the five of us jump up. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Like jumping up and down and dancing back and forth. No one could understand what had happened. The Mayavadi just immediately stopped his lecture. And we just continued kirtan. We had no idea what had happened because he was speaking Hindi the whole time. Prabhupada was listening the whole time. Prabhupada said to stop him. Actually, we should turn off the microphone for this one. I still had the kartals in my hand, and of course, in those days, everyone was fired up, and we were all maybe a little fanatical. So when Prabhupada looked at me and said, "Stop him." Prabhupada said, "Stop him," and I had the kartals in my hand. I thought I was going to strangle him with the kartals. I couldn't think of any other way to stop him. But then Prabhupada said, "Start kirtan." Started kirtan. Prabhupada said, "Stop him. What can I do?" So we chanted and chanted, and Prabhupada, during the kirtan, Prabhupada got down from the Vyasasana. And then he went out with his servant. And we kept on chanting. We stayed there. We stayed longer to distribute books. But we had no idea what happened. So as quickly as possible, after the program was over, we got a ride back to the apartment. And we ran up the 3 flights of stairs. And we got there, breathing, panting. And we went into Prabhupada's room. We immediately paid our obeisances. The room was just dimly lit, and there was one light illuminating Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was drinking warm milk at that time. And Prabhupada looked so peaceful and so satisfied. And we had no idea what had happened. We came in, we had paid our obeisances. We said, "Prabhupada, what happened? You had let him speak for 30 minutes, you're speaking in Hindi, and all of a sudden, stop him? Stop him? What happened? What happened?" So Prabhupada began to explain. First, he said, he was preaching all right. So immediately I could understand from that Prabhupada was so unfanatical that he gave some credit, he was preaching all right. And then Prabhupada said, he began explaining Panchupasana. And none of us had any idea what Panchupasana was.
What is that? What is Panchupasana?
So he said, Panchupasana is 5 different grades of demigod worship. You worship Ganesh, I never can get quite the 5, Vayu, Durga, Surya, Shiva, and Vishnu. So Prabhupada explained, this is Panchopasana. So first he was explaining Panchopasana, and then he started saying, yes, you can worship Durga, you worship Vayu, you worship Surya, and you can worship even Vishnu. But ultimately, he said, you can go beyond that. You can go beyond the forms to the formless and worship the highest and worship Brahman. And Prabhupada said, when he said that, I am like a lion when I'm out and like a lamb when I'm home. So when we were there, we couldn't help but remembering Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and how he would not, in his pranam mantra, he would not tolerate any statements against the conclusions of Srila Rupa Goswami. That night, Prabhupada made a tape. The next day, he invited the head of the Hindu Association, who also couldn't figure out what was going on. And he asked him for his house. What happened? The man refused, and when he left, Prabhupada said, he is so attached to his house, he has so much money, and yet he is so attached to that house, in his next life he can become a mouse in this house. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, oh, there's so many things we could talk about. But one is, what is my explicit instructional objective? Or maybe it's a little implicit. Now, I almost shouldn't break the mood of the story now. I should just let it all seep in a little bit. And I could have tied up a few more ends. But what did you get out of the story other than a wonderful pastime of Prabhupada? What inspiration did you get? Maharaj? Was that you just? Okay. Yeah, Nitai Gaur.
Question number. We should not tolerate any statements or conclusions or
ideas. How many of you got that feeling? Strongly. Okay. Now, usually when I tell this story, I have to have to calm everyone down and say Prabhupada could get away with many things. He could do many things because he was an elderly, so respected sadhu. And when we are in public preaching, we may not be able to act exactly like this with the heaviness and the strength and potency. Because the way I look at it is, Prabhupada, and anyone who was with Prabhupada had the experience of Prabhupada actually being with Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And carrying Radha and Krishna so intimately within his heart. So there, Prabhupada is with Radha and Krishna and seeing Radha and Krishna, and then this rascal is saying that Radha and Krishna, you can go beyond Krishna and worship Mayava, the Brahman. So with the depth of that realization, how could, based on that depth, Prabhupada spoke so strongly. One has to be very intelligent to know when to cut like this. So that was what I was practically trying to put across by that story. Okay, let's just talk about techniques for a couple of moments. Now, what did I do? One thing at a time. Okay, Nitai Gaur again. Okay. Vary the voice.
Use humor in the course of the story, like towards certain points of it.
No, that's because there's different ways to tell that story. How many of you felt that the humor got in the way of the actual ultimate mood of the story? Because while I was telling in the middle, I was a little afraid of overdoing the funny parts.
I think the humor holds the attention of all the audience. Yeah.
Amalgamating with the story.
With the,
makes,
the human.
Amalgamating with the story.
Yeah.
And it makes a nice cloth.
Now notice how you can do, you can put, like if I told everyone, if I just came out and said, you should not tolerate, if anyone makes a statement against the teachings of Krishna consciousness, you should not tolerate this, you must stop them immediately. Everyone would have so many questions and so much resistance to such a strong statement. But by putting that in a story, everyone is caught into coming to that conclusion without me saying anything practically. That's called indirect teaching, and that's why indirect teaching and stories are so powerful. Because when you teach something through a story, there's no resistance. Everyone just gets caught up along with it, and they reach your conclusion without you having to tell them what conclusion you want them to reach. And you get them in the inside, from the inside. You go around their intellectual arguments, so to speak. The glory of the story. Any other techniques that you saw?
Right. Visualization.
Huh?
Visualization.
Yeah, I was seeing it. And I had to see what I had to do also, is I wanted to make you see it. Where was the Vyasasana? Where was the audience? Over there. Where were we sitting? Of course, it's not, nothing is there. But if the person who's telling the story can see it, then everyone else will see it. And I had to use hand gestures a little bit to do that. But I could have probably done it just with my eyes and without having to get off and sitting down. Yeah, I'll tell you.
While you were doing the first part of the story, telling the story of the crime, and you're telling how Prabhupada is changing his posture, you were actually changing your sitting posture. The same thing, the same time. That's also really.
Now, I could have made the point, further point in that, that Prabhupada, he was so gentle and humble, so calling his own disciples so the lotus-like devotee can sit down. And then when it came to cutting, when he was like a lion. But I think we better stop now before they come and throw us out. Okay, tomorrow read the next, we'll do it maybe in 2 days though, but read the next two sections on discussion. We're ready to start discussion for tomorrow. And everyone should get a story ready for tomorrow as well. There's quite a few pages. Story for tomorrow too, and we'll give some of those.
Yeah, try to find one, put an objective in there, teach us something through a story. Thank you very much.